Hello, I'm not Johnny Cash. But he had great initials. And my voice is wonderful if you compare it to yesterday. Yesterday was like this. So we've planned something special for you today. I'm going to talk very briefly for about 5 minutes, and I've invited my son to do the backup. I've got several things to say. The very first one is, God is good. And we don't say that so that he will be better. He's already better than good. We say that to remind ourselves so that we get in line with him. God is good. And we're going to be thinking about something good with the rest of our time here. Oh, by the way, was I supposed to let the kids go? They're gone. All right. Kids, if you didn't get your clue, cue, now is the time. Where was I? God is good. Oh, yes. Amen. We'll come back to that in just a minute. We're going to be reading some texts. We're going to be reading some texts today that are based and were first written in Greek. And because we're in Jerusalem, everybody thinks that we're very gung-ho in Hebrew. And in fact, we are, because Israel is the one place in the world where people can become fluent in Hebrew. You don't do that in London or Philadelphia normally. It's possible, but it's really, really, really hard. But here it's easy. So we've got this fame for being, Bob Lindsay was a big proponent of Christians needed to know Hebrew, and that hasn't changed. But we're going to read texts today that were written in Greek. But we'll speak in English. And I'm mentioning this because there is a special opportunity this summer for Greek. We do an intensive Greek program that will start in 1 month. And the first part is 4 weeks, but it is intensive. And because our normal registration has now closed or come to an end, if there's someone local who would like Greek, come and make us an offer. In other words, don't pay the foreign tuition. Pay whatever you can or think it's worth your time. And that's open. We're going to open that up to people here in the land. Not students on stipends that should be paying for the tuition, but anyway, you'll figure it out. It's in the Lord's hands. Anyway, there is a unique opportunity for Greek. And Christians in the land need Greek. It's very much like 2,000 years ago, today. We have Hebrew, people speak Hebrew. They speak Arabic, which is the wider language in the Middle East. And they speak the international language of academia, which is English. Just like 2,000 years ago, the local yokels spoke Hebrew. They spoke Aramaic as a wider language for the Middle East and the educated language for dealing with the government and international affairs was Greek. Okay, enough of that stuff. Back to thinking about the Lord. The time of year, we're past Easter, right? But we haven't come to Shavuot yet. And what happened at that time? Well, we're not all that clear what happened. We have the 40 days that Jesus was with the disciples. What was it like? And we don't know a whole lot. We have to fill it in with our imagination. And last week, the Apostles' Creed was recited here. And in the Apostles' Creed, it says that Jesus sits at the right hand of God. And, you know, we don't know what that is like either. Theologians have debated, what in the world does it mean to sit at the right hand of God? Does it mean that there is some point in the middle of the universe of God's creation that he has a throne and Jesus is strapped to it? Or does it mean that he is ruling? Is it a metaphor for he is ruling? He is in charge of the whole universe. And if so, what's it like? And again, we cannot even conceive of what that's like. So it would be folly for me to tell you what it's like. But it's not folly for us to think about it. And I've asked my son, who's on his way to Tanzania, I've asked him to read 3 chapters that I thought appropriate for this time. He's going to read from Matthew 28 and from Luke 24 and from John 20 and 21. John gets 2 chapters. They're short. And in these chapters, we will hear the first accounts of Jesus' disciples, how they found out about the resurrection, and their encounters with him. Some of you may know, I think the resurrection happened a little near sundown on Motzei Shabbat. The first day of the week actually started in the evening, and Matthew, I don't know what translation he's going to read, but the Greek text actually makes it sound like it happened then. You'll find that all of the accounts have been telescoped, squished down to 2 dimensions on the resurrection side, but that's okay. And people often do that during Easter. They read the accounts and they go, wow, how do we put these together? There's this way, or there's that way, or maybe this other way. And what I want you to think about even more importantly is Jesus' relationship after the resurrection. And why don't we read Mark? Well, because we're actually missing Mark's account. We may see it in Matthew. If it looks like Matthew is following Mark pretty tightly. And so Matthew will have to do for Mark. But we do have some nice stories with John. And so we've got some time. So I'm going to invite my son now, and we're going to hear about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and his interactions with his disciples. And so I'm going to be thinking myself, Lord, where are you sitting today, and how are we walking with you today? And it's kind of wild. It's wide open. But the Lord sits at the right hand of the Father. And what does that mean? So, as we contemplate that, I'm going to save my voice. What in the world is that worth? I don't know, but I've done my part today. Thank you. Yoni, would you please come?
Okay, good morning again. And the first chapter is Matthew 28. If you guys want to follow along, I'll try to make it somewhat animated. but you might have to pinch yourself several times just because it some longer chapters. I'm always slow finding places, so some of you guys are ready. All right. This is the resurrection account by Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who is crucified. He is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, go to Galilee, they will see me." And in the NIV, it's titled "The Guards Report." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. And for the Great Commission, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Okay, that's the account of Matthew. And the next for comparison is Luke 24. Maybe you can be listening for some of the differences. I don't know them myself, but here goes. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with faces to the ground, and the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Next is on the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, What are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, 'Do you have anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, 'This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.' Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, this is the ascension, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Okay, that concludes Luke in my version. The next account of the resurrection is from John 20 and 21. Once again, the empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as a burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Parentheses, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he said these things to her. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing ye may have life in his name. 21 continues, Jesus in the miraculous catch of fish. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon, Peter, Thomas, that's Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, We'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, Friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard them say, It is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, there were fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, Who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, Feed my lambs. Again Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, Take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, Follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, If I want it if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Still concentrating, that's good. Okay, that is the third account, finishing with John, a little bit more of an extra after the resurrection. And Abba? Okay, go in peace. Okay. Yes. Close in prayer. Is that good? Lord, we thank you for today that we can remember a story we've all heard, several different accounts, and try to imagine our own life today and following years and days. How miraculous and strange it was to even people that knew you as the disciples, and how they were continually amazed at just who you were. Thank you for rising for us and help us to live with that that power and insight in our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen.